Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Wednesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers playoff push begins again on Thursday, and the odds makers don't like their chances. That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. It's always free. It's never behind a paywall. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to see the show, participate in a community of over 12,000 subscribers, many of whom are on there commenting, talking to us, talking to each other. Great, great fan community fan base there for the Lakers, people to interact with, and we really appreciate all the support that we're getting there. We are going to get a lot of really good responses to the scouting reports that we've done on the new Lakers. We've got one coming up in this episode with Philip Rossman Reich, the host of Locked On Magic. We'll be talking about Mo Bamba. Andy, you did that, had that conversation with him. So that'll be in our second segment. So we'll get to that really quickly. But first, Andy, we've talked on Tuesday about how LeBron James has basically said, like, you know, these 23 games as important as any 23 that I've played in the regular season over the course of my career. He plans on suiting up for all of them, definitely kind of putting the rest of the group on notice that, you know, it's got to go and it's got to go quick. He may have seen some of the numbers about what the mathematicians think the Lakers' chances of actually making these 23 games work are, because they are grim.
Yeah, it's, I mean, no secret about it. There's a reason you've had your running joke all season, Brian, about every single win being a must win, because once you start 2-10, it puts a lot in very dire perspective. I was digging through some of the playoff projections, different sites, and they vary, but none of them are particularly great for the Lakers. For example, Basketball Reference, through their metrics, the Lakers have the eighth toughest schedule remaining in the West as far as teams they're chasing. Only Minnesota has a tougher schedule. They're at seventh. The Warriors are slightly behind with the 10th, but everybody else they're directly chasing, according to Basketball Reference's metrics, has an easier schedule. But they rate the Lakers as having a 15% chance of the play-in or better. So basically making the play-in and then perhaps advancing, perhaps not, but either way, just 15%.
10 or better.
Right. Giving yourself the opportunity to even get in the playoffs. Tankathon does not have playoff odds, but they do rank schedule strength, because obviously that has a lot to do with tanking and your ability to tank. And by their methodology, the Lakers have the fifth easiest schedule remaining. They go, it seems like, just opponent winning percentage. I can't tell exactly how much context they put into it. You know, if you got off to a rough start, but you've been playing well lately, health, all that stuff. Then you go to 538, and they have two ways of doing this stuff. One of which they call the Raptor rating system, which is, in a nutshell, taking into account the players on the rosters, injuries, trades that have made depth charts, stuff like that. They have the Lakers with a 35% chance of making the playoffs. And for what it's worth, they like their odds better than the Blazers, Thunder, and Jazz in terms of the team that they're chasing. Using their ELO rating, which is purely based on record, margin of victory, head-to-head results, and it seems like more just data analytics, they have just a 19% chance of making the playoffs, and only better odds than the Blazers in terms of teams that you're chasing. So any way you slice this, Brian, the math may not be exactly the same, but none of it favors the Lakers.
Right. You know, I mean, the glass half full way of phrasing, you know, a 15% chance of 10 or better, or a 20% chance of making the playoffs or whatever, is an 80% chance or an 85% chance of not. You know, the Lakers roster is better. I think it is definitively better than it was pre-trade deadline. How much better is certainly a question that's up for debate. And more importantly, how quickly, even if it is better, how quickly you can figure out the best combinations to maximize what you have. You know, certainly this is something we're going to get into at the end of the Bamba conversation, because all of this ties together. But like they are in a real hole. And it's not that whether or not you think, okay, the Lakers are better than Portland. You know, I think they certainly could be. But Portland has a lead on them. Portland gets a head start. You know, Minnesota gets a head start. Utah gets a head start. All of these teams, you're not starting on equal footing over the last, you know, 20 something games, depending on which team you're talking about. And so, you know, for every one of these teams that they play, you know, the Lakers have 23 left. If they win 15 of them, you know, Oklahoma City with a 2-game lead only needs to win, I believe, what would be like 12 or 13 of their games. Like, you know, they can be much closer to 500. If any of these teams are 2 or 3 games over 500, Minnesota's 3 or 4 games, whatever it is, the Lakers have to be 5 or 6. And, you know, with 23 games left, that is not an easy thing to do. And if they were capable of winning 17 of 21, they might have done that by now. Like, that, there's just not been a lot of evidence that this team can put that together.
Well, yes,
there are reasons for that, but
yes and no, though, because it's a totally different team right now. I mean, if you want to break down small sample size, the Lakers have won 2 of 3 games in the new look version, one of which didn't have LeBron. So you could say small sample size. There actually is at least more reason to believe that they could win the requisite amount of games. Before we get to the Bamba preview, two upside things that I do want to present with this, because I think they're important to remember. And I actually am being honest and transparent in saying this. First of all, part of the reason the Lakers' schedule is not easy moving forward necessarily is because they're playing many of the teams that they are chasing with better records than them. That, however, is a direct opportunity to go up against the Thunder, the Warriors twice over the next couple of weeks, the Blazers. Like, they have a real opportunity in front of them to make up ground. Like, it is really fortunate that they have so many games against teams right in front of them. And those wins truly become must win. Like, you have to win those games from a practice.
Yeah, they are there. You know, people talk about those kinds of games as essentially 2-game swings. You know, you gain a game against the team that's there chasing, you know, drop it versus, you know, so it's, you know, when they play OKC, when they play Golden State, they open against Golden State on Thursday. Like, they got to win that game. Like, there's just no way around it.
The other good thing, though, that is really positive to think about with the Lakers moving forward, if they somehow make this work and reach at least the 10 seed, maybe even higher, maybe get themselves one of the higher play-in seedings, a playoff number 6, that could be difficult. But let's just say they get somewhere between 8 and 10. By definition, they have to be playing really well. Like, it is virtually impossible for the Lakers to back into the playoffs from where they are. Like, basically,
they cannot.
Right, unless all of the teams in front of them essentially go over post All-Star break, it is.
I haven't done the math, but I can't imagine if the Lakers, of the 23 games that they have left, I can't imagine if they, like, they can't go, you know, 12 and 11.
No,
like, they're gonna have to win 13 or 14 or 15 games,
right?
Because it's not just a matter of like, oh, you're only a couple games behind. You have to jump over teams, you have to jump over Portland, you have to jump over Utah. And all that. And these teams all play each other too much. Like, you can't lose. They can't lose every game.
But if they manage to reach 10 or higher, I know it can become a cliche to throw around. They really do become a potential 8 seed you don't want to see, because they have to be playing at a high level for this to happen. It is impossible any other way. So if you start seeing some wins coming, I don't think you should be thinking about this as a mirage. I think you should be thinking about this as something that gets you very excited.
Yeah, they're two, and they're, like I said, and I still have them finishing in the top 10. I've not put them out of the top 10 yet. They have to win quickly. I don't think, you know, you can't slump your way through the first, you know, four or five games out of the break and then plan on winning 14 in a row to finish things up. But I don't think there's any question that teams would rather play Oklahoma City in the first round of the playoffs than LeBron and AD. Like, I just, there's a 0% chance that teams would choose the Lakers there, even given all their problems, even given just because of who their frontline players are and some of the pedigree that they have. So I have not given up hope. I don't think other people should yet either. And like you say, it is a truly new and remade group. So, you know, we'll learn pretty quick what they got going. It's just going to be hard to maximize what they have there. And that's one of the tricky parts. And it's related, Andy, to the question of Mo Bamba. And he is one of the new guys that Darvin Ham and the coaching staff has to figure out how to get good play out of. You had a great conversation with Philip Rossman Reich of Locked On Magic, and we will bring that to everyone next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Prize Picks. Laker fans, if you've not signed up for Prize Picks, you are missing out on daily fantasy made easy. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. They offer more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator. They offer superstar players, bench players. Just pick 2 to 6 players and predict whether they record more or less than their Prize Picks stats projections, and you can win up to 25 times your money. And Prize Picks offers everything from baseball to women's college basketball, even disc golf. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Safe, fast withdrawals. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com. Sign up, play daily fantasy sports. First-time users, you can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. Again, don't forget the promo code Locked On for the instant match. If you're not playing Prize Picks, you don't know what you're missing. So joining me now to discuss all things Mo Bamba is Philip Rossman Reich, host of Locked On Magic, also a writer at Orlando Magic Daily, part of the Fansided Network. And he's clearly seen a lot of Mo Bamba and can explain exactly what happened during what appeared to be a fairly turbulent time in Orlando. Philip, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I want to start with like a 5,000 foot view. What either went wrong or do you think maybe just didn't go right with Mo Bamba?
You know, I think it was a couple of things. You know, I'm a big believer that the situation a player gets drafted to matters a ton. I think the Magic drafted Mo Bamba knowing that he was going to need some time. Like, he's still fairly skinny. Like, they knew he was going to need some time to kind of get used to the rigors of the NBA game. But I think they drafted him thinking that he was going to replace Nikola Vucevic. You know, entering the 2019 season, Vucevic was set to become a free agent in the offseason. It felt like the writing was on the wall. There were zero expectations for that team. And so Bamba was going to get kind of a year to understudy, and then he'd take over as the starter and be, you know, the rim protecting, shot blocking, 3-point shooting center that everyone dreams about. But, you know, something funny happened that season. Steve Clifford came in, brought a level of seriousness and preparation to what was not necessarily a young team. Nikola Vucevic broke out and became an all-star, and all of a sudden the Magic found themselves within shouting range of the playoffs. And all of a sudden, development wasn't the goal. Development wasn't an end goal. You know, for a Magic franchise that hadn't been to the playoffs in 7 years at that point since Dwight Howard left, it definitely felt like making the playoffs was really important to that group and really important to that team. And Bamba got kind of lost a little bit in the shuffle. They didn't have time to kind of wait for him to figure out the league and figure things out. And then on top of that, with 31 games left in the season, coincidentally or not, right before the Magic made a 22-9 push to make the playoffs that year, Bamba broke his leg. He suffered, I believe it was a stress reaction in his leg and missed the rest of the season. Was slowed down in that offseason, had another like kind of reaction or setback after playing a game and a half of summer league. And he just never could kind of get his footing under him after that rough start. And all of a sudden he was on a team that had playoff expectations, and there wasn't really a ton of patience to kind of let him develop and make some mistakes with a team that felt some urgency to get better or reset the whole thing. And that's eventually when Bamba got his minutes, when the team reset the whole thing.
How much do you think the lack of development with Bamba also had to do with Orlando's I think at least general struggles with team building. Like this year, actually, I think they finally have a discernible direction, but the last several years, their rosters have always felt very island of misfit toys to me. And in certain respects, how well you develop as a young player is dependent with who's around you to help you develop.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was definitely part of the problem. You know, the Magic, again, I love Steve Clifford to death. I think he's a fantastic coach. That he is a great coach for a young team that's ready to start winning and ready to take that next step. He is not necessarily the best coach for a young player who needs to make mistakes. Like Steve Clifford views things through the prism of wins and losses, which is good. You want that. But some young guys need the ability to make mistakes, to take a step back, learn, and go out and do it again. There just wasn't that patience. And so to that point, the Magic, when Bamba arrived, felt like they were a team that would let him make those mistakes. And then very suddenly, they couldn't afford those mistakes anymore. They needed those minutes to be successful. They needed those minutes to have some consistency from them. And Bamba couldn't provide that. And so you had not only kind of this transition from a team that was struggling to win to a team that suddenly expected to make the playoffs. You still had a new front office that was getting its hooks into the team, letting things kind of play out. And figuring out what kind of team they wanted to be. And that's kind of the environment Bamba came into. And, you know, he really struggled to find his place and not only just contribute to the team, but develop personally. And then, you know, health matters. Like he struggled with injuries. You know, I talked about the foot injury, the leg injury that he had his rookie year. When the league came back from the pandemic break, he got COVID during the break and actually, you know, had to sit out a little bit when guys were starting to gear back up. I think he had either a false positive when they entered the bubble, or he had some type of issue when they entered the bubble where he was delayed getting back into practice with the team once they arrived at Disney. And then just throughout that offseason, he said that, you know, he was having some kind of long COVID issue, even some long COVID issues. Now he would say those are gone now. I don't think that's a concern, but he was struggling to kind of build up his conditioning even into the start of the 2022 season or start of the 2021 season, excuse me. And it's just been kind of one hurdle placed in front of the other, both organizationally, both health-wise. And then just, you know, at a certain point, you turn your attention to other guys.
What would you say are his strengths and weaknesses offensively?
He is a really solid pick and pop shooter. You know, I think that's the biggest benefit he gives you. You know, there are obviously a lot more centers who can shoot threes now, but he does a really good job kind of spotting up on that 3-point line. And he's a fairly reliable 3-point shooter. The numbers I think would suggest that. You know, the joke here in Orlando is Orlando needs shooting and they traded away two of their top three-point shooters they let go of two of the top three-point shooters on the team, and Mo Bamba and Terrence Ross, who's now going to the Phoenix Suns. You know, obviously you don't depend on a lot of shooting from your center spot, but Bamba knows how to find that mid-range jumper. He knows how to find that 3-point shot. He is very capable of taking those kick-out passes and making teams pay. And he'll have spark games where he will hit 3-4. I think he's had games where he's hit 5 3-pointers in the past, and he'll have those big games.
What about weaknesses? Where do you think the limitations are offensively?
He just no post presence. Like he is not looking to get, he's not looking for contact. He's not looking to get in the post. There's just very rare that you see Bamba on the block trying to post someone up. And I know that's not kind of the direction the league goes anymore. That's not kind of what's in vogue, but you know, a guy that's 7'1", you know, 7'7", right. Just, He would get bodied up by smaller guys, like bigger, smaller players, even forwards and guards could get up under him and push him off his spot. So he's just not someone who seeks out physicality. He is a pure finesse big. You know, he can roll to the basket, he can finish above it, but he's not looking to kind of turn and seal. He's going to look to pop for that shot. He's going to favor that jumper, or he's going to need a clear path to the basket to score.
How would you rate him as a rebounder and a screener? Just because you were talking about that physicality and the finesse factor.
You know, I think he's a better screener than he gets credit for. You know, like his, you know, for whatever screen assists are worth, like he usually ranks pretty high on.
Well, at our network, yes, they're worth a lot.
Screen assists are worth a lot. but you know, I think that he is fine setting a kind of a regular pick and roll. He's not going to like completely block the sun out on anybody. He's not going to do any of that. And rebounding is a weakness with him. Like he's got long arms. you know, but I think his reaction time to chase after the ball, and this is one of his problems on defense too, his reaction time is often like a tick slow. Like I often say, like, you know, one of his problems was, you know, it would be see, think, do, not see, do. I would always say about Mo Bamba, I'd rather him commit to a mistake than not do anything at all. Like, not doing anything is the mistake. And that's kind of his problem defensively at times on rotations and kind of seeing the floor. Like, he can block a shot and he'll put up a good defensive field goal percentage, but teams will go after him because he will make those mistakes and they'll be able to get by him and to the basket. So, you know, for as much as he's promises as a rim protector and he could block shots and he will get some blocks just based off his size, the other parts of the defensive game just never came around. And that's why the Magic just came not to rely on him as much. And look, Bamba will still have great defensive moments. Like, I don't want to characterize him as just a complete nothing defensively. Like, you see all the flashes of why he was, you know, the fourth rated prospect out of his high school class in 2017, why he was, considered a top pick and a top prospect in that draft. Like, draft night, the Magic thought they were getting the center of their future. And, you know, especially a center that was kind of trending in the direction that centers have been trending for a while now. They thought they were getting that kind of a player, and there's, you know, no reason to think otherwise. There was definitely concerns, you know, about his motor, which I've always kind of questioned as more of a, like, his gait is weird. Like, his gait, like, looks kind of hunched over. It doesn't always look like he's playing hard.
He doesn't look the part.
Yeah, exactly. So I've always questioned those motor questions. Like, I think he plays hard. I don't think that's the issue. Okay. I think the issue is just understanding, diagnosing situations and reacting to them quickly enough.
A couple more questions. Do you think he can play alongside AD?
Yes. I think, you know, if you're looking for a comp, Mo Bamba's best season was last year, the 2022 season. He played essentially that whole season as the center next to Wendell Carter at power forward. And honestly, like, the pairing, the Magic were not a good team last year, but the pairing was pretty successful comparative to everything else the Magic had. You know, certainly Bamba can space the floor. He's comfortable being on the perimeter, so he's not going to clog the lane in that front. And I actually really liked how both Carter and Bamba paired together, because Carter is a pretty solid individual defender. You can look up his numbers against Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic. He defends those two guys as well as anyone else. But I think I said throughout the offseason, you know, I'm a little concerned with Carter because he doesn't have Bamba behind him to block shots, to clean things up. And that's where I think Bamba can be really successful as that kind of roaming defender to kind of clean things up in the paint. So, you know, they played – Carter played about two-thirds of his minutes last year with Bamba next to him. That grouping was, again, for as bad as the Magic were last year, pretty successful. So I think Bamba can pair really well with another big out there, especially one who is also a pretty good defender and can clean up Bamba's mistakes when he's defending one-on-one too, and Anthony Davis. I think that'll be a really good pairing and certainly something the Lakers can explore.
He's got a very short amount of time to make an impression on the Lakers, because the second year of his deal is for all intents and purposes non-guaranteed. What type of environment do you think he needs to be in order to thrive the most, particularly again in that short of amount of time to make an impression?
I mean, I think it's going to help him being with a great playmaker. Like, I mean, LeBron James helps everybody, and an elite playmaker obviously is going to get him easier shots, going to get him better looks from the perimeter, probably get him more space to roll to the basket than the Magic could provide. Cause, you know, not that the Lakers have a ton of shooting either, but, you know, Orlando has always been so devoid of shooting that teams clog that paint up and really make it hard for any big to operate. Now, you know, again, Lakers don't have great shooting either, but they have Anthony Davis to draw attention. They have LeBron James to draw attention. So there's going to be more space for someone like Bamba to get his shot off, to really kind of carve a role and to make his presence known. You know, I think at the end of the day, everyone knows what Bamba can do offensively. I think at the end of the day, the question is going to become, can Bamba give the level of defense and the level of rim protection that works within what the Lakers are doing? If he can do that, he's going to make an impression. If he finds his role defensively, if he really works. And I think, you know, honestly, like, I was surprised the Magic re-signed him this offseason. I felt like for Bamba, he needed a new environment anyway. He needed a new voice. He needed new teammates. He needed a new opportunity somewhere. Everything had just kind of gone stale. We kind of knew where this was ending, and it ended exactly where we thought it might. It's a really good opportunity, I think, and there's going to be players there that will help him accentuate his strengths and probably hide some of his weaknesses in a way that Orlando couldn't.
He is Philip Rossman Reich. He is the host of Locked On Magic, also a writer at Orlando Magic Daily. Make Locked On Magic your second listen of the day. Again, as long as Locked On Lakers is your first. And all the Locked On Magic fans out there, keep listening to Philip. If you want to dislike me and Brian, whatever, we don't really care. Appreciate the time, man. Thank you very much.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want the fat and calories, you got to try Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, you know, President's Day weekend. That's a big eating weekend if you're like a Taft fan. I know my goal was to eat healthier this year. And if you're like me, you want to eat healthier, you don't want to compromise taste. And I got the thing for you. It's Built Bars. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they are so delicious. You won't even think that they're good for you. You just eat them and you get the benefits unconsciously, and they are perfect for continuing your New Year's resolution as you enter the third month of the year. So what makes Built Bars so good? For starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's a great place to start right there. Real chocolate, 100%. And the flavors, churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond. I have no idea how they do it, but the bars are, they taste like a candy bar, and they still maintain amazing macros, like 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 17 grams of protein. And now you don't even have to wait to get around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about you got to order them at built.com, and you can still do that. But now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart, walk to the pharmacy section, grab yourself a box of Built Bars right there. Boom, you got them. And of all the flavors, brownie batter, churro, and you can thank me later. Do want to let people know, Andy, a quick reminder that today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. To me, the thing that I thought was most interesting about your conversation with Philip, and again, thanks to Philip Rossman Reich for joining the show. Go check out Locked On Magic.
Also, really quickly, you can follow Philip on Twitter at Philip with one L, RR_OMD. That's for Orlando Magic Daily that he writes with it as well. So great places to check out Philip's work.
So it was like this idea of fit, and like when you talked about how he can play next to AD and whether or not that works, and context is so important with these guys, because the context he talked about of being drafted really high, and then the context of like the team kind of changing while he was gone for a long time with injuries, just not on the floor, and things change really quick. And, you know, he's not a perfect player, but if you're looking for a guy to fill a role as a backup center, you want that guy to be able to play with Anthony Davis. And he's certainly not going to be somebody who clogs up the paint for AD. He can help spread the floor that way, provide a little bit of secondary rim protection there as well.
He doesn't like going in the paint offensively.
Nope. Neither do I. I understand. You know, granted, he's 7 feet tall and I'm 5'9", but still, for example, there was talk like, would you give up the picks for Jakob Poeltl, for example? Poeltl is a significantly better player than Mo Bamba. But when you do like the cost benefit and the fit stuff with AD, I'm not sure he would match up, at least certainly not offensively, in a way that made sense. And so it's like sometimes the better player isn't the better fit. And the Lakers really need to focus on fit going forward, not just certainly this year, but definitely as they try to construct a roster for next year too.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the reasons we talked about this before, that I thought this move made sense for the Lakers, but also why even before they started making trades that brought in Bamba or brought in Jared Vanderbilt, that Thomas Bryant's role was in danger of shrinking, so much so that Bryant had actually requested a trade. And Thomas Bryant in a reduced role with the Lakers, particularly the Lakers that have AD available, plus Rui Hachimura on board, D'Angelo Russell there, Malik Beasley there, all of a sudden Thomas Bryant's scoring becomes less of a thing. And in a reduced role, Mo Bamba can do the exact same shooting from outside that Thomas Bryant does. He's not as good of an offensive player overall, but in a reduced role, the gap between Bamba and Bryant offensively is smaller, much smaller than the gap between Bamba and Bryant defensively, where I think Bamba actually will be called upon to do everything he can do. So it just it makes a lot of sense.
And as much as Philip pointed out the flaws in Bamba defensively, he's better than Bryant. And, you know, Thomas Bryant, you know, works hard. I don't think it was lack of attention. I don't think it was lack of effort. He's just not good at it. And he was really bad. Like, you know, he was bad by the eye test. He was bad by analytics and all this other stuff. And Bamba, for all of his flaws on that side of the ball, as a sort of a positional defender or as a scheme defender, whatever, still provides very solid rim protection. And Bryant did. And the Lakers needed that. And so now you have a guy who does two things. So this is where I'm kind of fascinated by all the new guys is how do you figure out a way to mask what they do poorly and maximize what they do well? And, you know, usually you have training camp and the first 20 games, to kind of work through that process. Because all of these guys have issues. You know, Vanderbilt, you know, has offensive stuff and can't stretch the floor. Can you play him next to AD? Well, they tried it, and it, you know, it looked good at times and problematic at others. Beasley and Russell is a very potent potential offensive backcourt where you got to figure out how to cover up their defensive flaws. Well, maybe you can do that by playing Vanderbilt, which, you know, and you're not going to find anything perfect. But they have, you know, they have options and they have the ability to try. You just hope they can find enough of a combination over these last 23. The other thing, I really hope Bamba works out well enough that they want to keep him around, because that $10 million next year or whatever he's going to make will come in really handy if they, you know, you get a deadline deal or you want to construct something else or whatever. Part of what I love about the moves that they made at the deadline, Andy, is just, you, oh, look, D'Angelo Russell is going to get paid 23 next year, and you've got 16 with Beasley and 10 with Bamba and 5 or whatever it is with Vanderbilt. And you, all of a sudden you have an actual roster.
And whatever salaries. Rui Hachimura ends up making. If
8 or 9 or whatever it is. Sure. I mean, like, it's not a cheap roster and it's not the best roster, but it's much more coherent and cohesive, not just from an on-court product, but from a spreadsheet, you know, like, and that stuff really matters.
Yeah. And look, bottom line is, if you're going to bother having LeBron and AD on your roster, shouldn't be cheap anyway. So shouldn't be a thing.
All right. Once again, thanks to Philip Rossman Reich for joining the show. Locked on Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to see the thing. Thursday, man, the game started again. The Lakers got to hit the ground running. We will get everybody ready for Thursday's game against the Warriors and the rest of the season. Whew. Stretch run. Here we go. See everyone next time.